I am Jim Rome, and this is the Jim Rome Show. Program's brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I can promise you an excellent hour of content. Coming up in about 20 minutes, the winner of the Geico 500 at Talladega, emotional day at the track yesterday, Ryan Blaney. Telephone calls a little bit later on, but we start hour number three, as promised, by having this conversation with a professional golfer, a four-time winner on the PGA Tour, winner of the Korn Ferry Tour's King and Bear Classic this past weekend. He was a national champion at Georgia. He was the 2007 Ben Hogan Award winner. He is Chris Kirk. He joins us now. Chris, great to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. Thanks for having me.
It's really good to have you. So, Chris, your journey is absolutely amazing, and I want to get into that in a moment. But first off, can you take me back to the weekend? Despite the fact that you had played bogey-free golf for the first three rounds and you were 21 under, you were four shots off the lead going into the final round. So let me start right there. What was your mindset as you went to the course?
Yeah, I definitely knew I was going to have to stay aggressive. Was very surprised when I finished my third round to be four shots back after playing so well. I was just thinking I would try to go make as many birdies as I could and see if I could make a run.
So then you're four under on your first seven holes. The leader is two over. Suddenly everything has changed. What was that like?
Yes, that was very unexpected. I felt good about being able to chase him down and catch him, but I certainly didn't think it was going to be on the sixth or seventh hole, like you said. But then obviously had a little stumble on number 10 and was able to right the ship a little bit and say, you know what, this is not about just me passing Vince, who was the leader, but you know, there were a ton of guys behind me that were all going to make a ton of birdies. So I knew I had to stay aggressive coming in, and thankfully was able to make three birdies right there at the end.
Chris Kirk joining us. So what about that? You had that stumble on 10, and that dropped you into a tie for the lead, but then you birdied 14 and 15. Then you had that short birdie putt on 18. You had not won since your win at Colonial back in 2015. So what kind of emotions were you feeling standing over that putt and then when it went in?
A lot of joy, really. That's one of those things in professional golf. You're standing back there in the fairway on 18, and you know you got to make a birdie on 18 to win, to be able to do it, and thankfully do it relatively easily. I was glad it was a 2 or 3 footer, not a 12 footer, that's for sure. That's an amazing feeling to know you got to do it and be able to get it done.
We're talking to Chris Kirk. The thing is, Chris, that story alone is impressive, but it's even more impressive when you consider what you've done in the past 13 months. Last May, the day before your 34th birthday, you announced that you were going to take a leave of absence from the PGA Tour to address issues with alcohol abuse and depression. How would you describe your life at that point?
I think lost is probably the best word for it. So my sobriety date is April 29th, but the previous November was when I first, sat down with some friends and family and address the issue. Like, this is a problem for me. I'm going to stop drinking. And so that period of time from November through the end of April, beginning of May, I would usually make it for about three, four weeks or so. Just was miserable, unhappy. And then I finally would just go off the deep end. And that kind of kept repeating itself. And then after doing that a handful of times, I finally was just like, okay, I'm going to lose my family. I'm going to lose my career. I'm going to lose everything if I don't do something different here. And so that was when I said, okay, I just have to get away from the PGA Tour for a little while, away from traveling, away from golf, and was able to get the, really truly get the help that I needed at that point, because being someone who's always been very headstrong, very determined, I just thought that, I've got this. I can beat this just like anything else. But, after that period of months, it became very clear that I couldn't do it on my own. So I'm very thankful that I stopped when I did and have been successful to this point. Obviously, it's a long journey. It's a constant process. But I feel really great, and I'm excited about the future.
with talking to Chris Kirk. I think I speak for a lot of people, Chris. I'm sure I do, that I really appreciate your candor, and I appreciate you sharing that. I mean, the fact of the matter is, you're an incredibly accomplished golfer. I mean, I only had time to list a few of your achievements at the start of the interview, but the fact is, you also finished second in the FedEx Cup in 2014. You were ranked in the top 20 in the world at one point, so it would have been understandable if you just kept battling it out on the course. What was it that made you step away?
I'd say it was a combination of a lot of things. I mean, first off, I was just miserable. You know, things were not going well at all in my personal life. Obviously, the stuff that I described was putting strain on the relationship with my wife and my kids and my family. And I just felt like I wasn't in control. And so I knew that if I didn't stop and I didn't do something about it, things were only going to get worse. And I just wasn't willing to keep going down that road. You know, I'm very thankful that I was able to see that at that time. You know, a lot of people are not as fortunate. They keep going until they've lost their family, until they've lost their job, they've lost their house, you know, and it's that powerful of a thing that it can keep taking you down further down that road. It was a combination of all those things, and I'm just very, very thankful. I feel very blessed that I was able to see that at that time and realize that I needed to do something different.
We're talking to Chris Kirk. You mentioned your family. At one point when you were away from the game, you were the head coach of your son Sawyer's baseball team. You were the assistant mm-hmm. coach of your son Foster's team. So what was that experience like? And overall, what was the time away from the game like for you?
Just hearing you say that brings a big smile to my face. You know, remembering coaching their teams. And, you know, I'll try to stay involved and at least be assistant coaches for them going forward. It was great. You know, the first few weeks to maybe a month are really difficult. And I think that anybody else that's been through this can attest to that. Just physically, your body adjusting to not having something that it's had every day for a long time is difficult. And mentally also, you know, you become kind of obsessed, I guess is the right word, where you have, you know, it's a thought that pops into your head every 5 or 10 minutes all day. And that part of it doesn't necessarily go away at first. And you feel like it'll never go away. But thankfully it has. But once I was able to get through those first few weeks, just being able to spend time here at home with my wife and kids. We live on 40 acres here in Athens, Georgia. It's just an awesome place for us to hang out. Really got into my physical fitness, got in the best shape of my life, which I could probably use a little bit more of that now. I need to get back going on that. But, just the time at home was fantastic. All that extra time with my kids. It just was something I'll never forget. And a time that you could see as a huge negative, but now I look back on it with really fond memories.
We're talking to Chris Kirk. Chris, one last thought about your reaction to this and how you got leverage on this. I think this is a statement you made last fall. Well, I know the statement was made last fall, but I think a lot of people would really like to hear this because it would resonate. You said alcohol is not your problem. It is your solution. You just have to find a better solution, end quote. I think that's really interesting. I think people would benefit from hearing your thoughts on that. Can you lay that out? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that a lot of people who become alcoholics or addicts or whatever it may be, you're using your drug of choice to make you just feel better about yourself, or if you have anxious or depressed thoughts, to kind of turn the volume down on those. That's certainly how it was for me. I think that I was spending a ton of time on the road away from my family, which I didn't like. And I think that just trying to maintain the high level of golf that I had been playing, and the struggle to do that just became too much for me. And so my sort of anxious thoughts would build and snowball, and I would come up with all these crazy, unrealistic scenarios in my mind. And so drinking was a way for me to just get those to turn off for a while, you know? And unfortunately, they would come back the next day, but it was worth it for me at the time to be able to just sit there and stare at the wall and not think about anything. And so obviously I got to the point where I realized that it wasn't really working anymore. And I've been able to find other solutions. You know, I'm involved in a 12-step program that's been really life-changing for me. And just seeing that, you know, although there were some actions on my part that brought this on, it's not necessarily something that I need to blame myself for. And not even something that I regret anymore, because it's led me to a place where I feel so much more free and open and honest than I've ever been. It's just an amazing feeling.
Talking to Chris Kirk, I appreciate that response very much. So as I mentioned, you had previously won four times on the PGA Tour, a couple of times on the Korn Ferry Tour. So how does this win feel compared to the ones before it? Does it feel different because of everything you've been through and overcome?
Certainly, yes. And, you know, it's been 5 years since I've won a Korn Ferry or PGA Tour event. So, yeah, I definitely feel some feelings of redemption, but also I feel like it, you know, I'm hoping on this just being a stepping stone to being back where I want to be, being, you know, one of the top players in the world again. And I believe I have the game to do it. It's just a matter of trying to, you know, stick with my program and stay in a good place mentally and physically, and just try to slowly start building some confidence and realize that I can still do this.
Hey Chris, one last thought. What about the PGA Tour family? Like, what was the response from people around the game when you announced that you were taking your leave of absence, and what has the response been like since you've come back?
Overwhelmingly positive on both accounts. From all the other players that have sent me messages of support and just saying that they really respect what I'm doing, I really appreciate that. And then obviously this past week, tons of congratulatory calls and text messages. And then the support from the PGA Tour itself, from Jay Monahan, he called me a few days ago just to tell me congratulations and how proud he was of me. And they've just been really fantastic. It really does feel like a family in times like this.
It's an amazing journey, an amazing story. He is a four-time winner on the PGA Tour, winner of the Korn Ferry Tour's King and Bear Classic from the past weekend, a national champion at Georgia, and much, much more. Chris Kirk, my guest. Chris, so good to have you on the show. I really appreciate you sharing your story. There's no telling how many that helped, and it's great to have you, Chris. Thanks so much.
Thanks for time, Jim. Appreciate you having me on.
Appreciate you doing it, Chris. That was great. Thank you so much. Chris Kirk, amazing journey once again. All right, we can discuss that at the bottom of the hour. 1-800-636-8686. When we come back, the winner of the Geico 500 at Talladega, Ryan Blaney. That is next. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Do not go anywhere. That conversation and then your phone calls, and then that's that. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. We are efforting Ryan Blaney. We will have him momentarily. In the meantime, you want to set yourself up for the next segment, or if I have a minute or two right here, 1-800-636-8686. Either way, set yourself up. Make sure you find a way to get in, like my guy Jeff in Southfield did earlier in the program, and set the world ablaze. That was a great post-Smackoff call. You have your telephone number. We had Chris Kirk. Fascinating story. We had Sam Amick on, and that was in hour number two. First hour was wide open. Another good, solid day here on the program. Dear Jim, Jeff and Southfield's call was so funny and weird that it made me forget Matt in LA's latest dud. That is the highest compliment I can bestow. Signed, Brett from Bugaha. Makes me think of the one caller that called up earlier also. Like, the guy had been listening for 25 years, never had any reason to call. And finally, after 25 years, I mean, you can only imagine what that guy's heard over 25 years. Everything, right? Everything. Seen everything, heard everything, and never once picked up the phone. Just content to lay out for 25 years and just listen. And finally, after 25 years, here's the one thing that gets him to act. Finally decides, man, that's it. I can't do it. I can't take it anymore. I'm calling Rome right now. What is that one thing? He wanted to call to say that Matt in L.A. sucks.
I'm listen to the first call. I got Matt. Dude, that is awful. He's unlistenable.
After 25 some odd years, he finally picks up the phone to say that Matt is awful, man. That is unlistenable. That was the thing that motivated him after two decades to pick up the phone. Matt. To say how awful Matt was. He's unlistenable. All right, fair enough. To each his own. You're entitled to your opinion. I'm not banning Matt. I'm not blocking Matt. He's still welcome. As promised, we are joined by the driver of the number 12, Menards Ford Mustang 14 Penske. He won at Talladega yesterday. Unbelievable finish to that race by 0.007 seconds. First win of the season, fourth career cup win. Yesterday's win clinches, fourth consecutive playoff berth for my guest. He is third in the point or series point standings. For the first time ever, the NASCAR Cup Series will hold two cup events on back-to-back days, Saturday and Sunday. You've got the Pocono Organics 325 on Saturday, 3:30 p.m. Eastern on Fox. And then you've got the Pocono 350 on Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern on FS1. So it's going to be a big weekend. We are joined by Ryan Blaney. Ryan, it's great to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. I appreciate you having me on.
Ryan, great to have you on, especially after yesterday. Well, any day, but especially after yesterday. What an amazing win that was at Talladega. Can you take me through the final moments as cars are bumping into each other? Everybody's battling for that win. What's going through your head in those final seconds?
Yeah, you know, any race at Talladega or, you know, any super speedway is always going to be exciting. Just we're so close to each other and, you know, you're fighting for inches and you have moments to react. And, you know, in our position, when we came off of turn four, we were kind of too far ahead. I didn't really have any drafting help. So it's that time you're just trying to block the runs that are coming to you. And it's just what you got to do. And, you know, there was some beating and banging there coming to the line. But, you know, at that time, it's you know, the gloves are off and you got to do what you got to do to win. Any competitor will tell you that. So it was an exciting race, exciting finish. It was nice that we were on the good end of it for sure. And winning by 2 or 3 inches is definitely really exciting. You definitely get your heart going.
We're talking to Ryan Blaney. I was going to say, you and the team have been running really well of late. You've been knocking on the door for a win for the past three races leading up to yesterday. So you touched on this, but how good did it feel to punch that one in and get that win when you had been running as well as you had and come so close?
Yeah. We've been, you know, really fast all year. We've been had really fast race cars and been so close, especially the last month and a half. We've had some great finishes and, we've been, like you said, knocking on the door of our first one of the year and just haven't quite been able to pull it off. And it was nice to finally get one yesterday and just get that zero out of that column. And hopefully this opens up, you know, the floodgates for many more to come this year. But it's just been, you know, being with a new team this year, a new group of guys, is it's taking a little bit to get used to, you know, especially with no practice now, with the way everything's working. It's hard to get a feel for everybody, you know, and it just takes time. But I've been fortunate. I've been having a blast this year, and I think we've been really strong. It's just a matter of, you know, cleaning a few things up, and hopefully we can keep rattling off wins and good finishes here in the regular season that, you know, lead us to the playoffs.
See, Ryan, that's the thing. It seems to me that, I mean, you talked about the challenge of coming together with a new team, but the fact of the matter is you're having a really good year and running really well, and you are with a new team. You're with your first season with crew chief Todd Gordon. It seems like it looks easy. I know it's not, but how have the two of you been able to get on the same page as quickly as you have?
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. It's, you know, we had the first four races of the year with normal schedule, and then, you know, the virus happened, and with just showing up and racing now, that's hard to get good communication going. You know, through practice, you can really get a feel for each other and, okay, what he figured it out, what I like with the race cars, I figure out what he likes to change on them, and you got to get your own communication. So, and that just takes time. But, you know, with me and Todd, that's been really quick. It's been a really quick learning curve. We get each other, and we kind of have our own language when it comes to the cars, which just works. And like I said, he's a great crew chief. He's a championship crew chief. That whole group won the championship a couple of years ago. So just a really great group of guys. But it's definitely been nice to fire off the season really strong, and you just hope that it keeps getting better and better as you keep getting to know each other.
Ryan Blaney with an amazing win yesterday. Of course, before the race, there was that incredibly powerful scene where all the drivers pushed Bubba Wallace's car to the front. You and Bubba have been friends for a long time. Let me ask, what kind of emotions did you have when Bubba told you about that noose in the garage on Sunday?
Yeah, the pre-race was definitely a special moment to be a part of. With not only the drivers coming together and showing their support, but the crew members, NASCAR, the fans that were there, showing their support for Darrell was just nice to be a part of. And it just shows that, we're all in this together. It goes away from a competitive and a sports standpoint. That's just humanity, and caring for your fellow human being. You hope that other people around the world and around this country, see that and learn from it. But when when I found out about that incident that happened, I was obviously really hurt for him. And I've known Bubba for 15 years, and he's been one of my best friends along the way. And I've always supported him and always will support him till the end of time. But I know he was hurt by it, and I just don't understand how someone can have hatred like that in their heart, to do something like that. But I think the way that you fight it is showing that you're not going to back down. And he's done a great job in not backing down and really voicing himself and just really supporting movements that are going on right now. So it's been nice to be a part of it with him and learn from him and things like that. But it's a special moment before the race. That was really nice to be a part of, and I hope people can learn from that around the world and just support your fellow human being, man. That's what it takes. You just have to. We're all in it together, and we wanted to show that yesterday. And like I said, just a special moment to be a part of with him and all the other drivers.
Absolutely right. Ryan, one quick follow. After the race, you said that you and the drivers wanted to show, quote, "We're not going to take it anymore. I'm getting sick of this bleep," end quote. Does it feel like this was a really significant moment for the sport?
I think so. I definitely think so. It's just, the support that the sport has given and Bubba's given to, recent events that's happened in the country, the past 3 or 4 weeks. We just want to show our support that, like I said, it just goes back to supporting your fellow human being. And, no matter where you come from, no matter what color skin you are, we're all on the planet Earth, and you all have to, everyone has to get along and things like that. So I think, people coming together is the best way to just overcome, hatred in the world and in the country. And, I definitely think we just, want to do what's right. We're not doing it for publicity. We're not doing it for anything like that. It's just doing what's right and standing up for what you think is right on a humanity side. So I thought, like I said, it just goes back to it was a really special moment yesterday. And, like I said, I'm going to be behind my buddy 100% along the way.
I appreciate your thoughts. Before you go, this Saturday and Sunday is the first time ever that the Cup Series is going to host two Cup events on back-to-back days. It's going to be a challenging weekend, an exciting weekend. What kind of thoughts do you have when you think about the weekend?
Yeah, it'll be a really special weekend for sure. Like you said, it's the first time we're doing a doubleheader and Cup races at the same track, Saturday, Sunday, and they're inverting, the top 20 in the field after Saturday's race. So that'll be a big shakeup in the starting lineup for Sunday. So I think it'll be great. It's a shame we can't have a stands packed full of fans like we were looking forward to. But, I think it'll be great to watch on TV. The races are a little bit shorter, so it'll be a little bit more of a quick dash to the finish. And Pocono puts on a great race, too. It's a really unique big triangle racetrack, and no corner's the same. So I'm excited for it. It'll be definitely an interesting one running the same car both days. And hopefully you don't tear your car up on Saturday and have to fix it for Sunday. But I hope everyone enjoys it. I know I will.
All right, so last thought, you've had success there. And like you said, it's different running without the fans. But as everybody knows, you are an aspiring Jedi. Take me inside. What is the mindset that you have to have, especially at the end in those tight finishes? How are you able to stay so focused during those pressure-packed moments?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, it's you live to be a competitor, you know, in any sport that you do. And, you know, at those racetracks that when it's coming down to crunch time, there's a lot of things happening, you know, and you have split seconds to make a decision. And you hope it's the right decision. You'll make wrong decisions sometimes, but you try to learn from those. But everything just happens so fast. You know, you have a split second to make your mind up and what you're going to do, and you hope it's the right move to make. So your mind's just always thinking ahead. You know, I think that's the best thing you can do is always thinking towards, you know, 30 feet ahead of you instead of right where you're at. That's just kind of how you have to think. And so sometimes they work for you, sometimes they don't. But you just try to get better at it and do the best you can. But it's definitely exciting, and I've been fortunate to be a part of it, you know, for many years, the racing side of it, and just what I live for is what I grew up watching my dad do, and really fortunate to be a part of it nowadays.
There you go. For the first time ever, the NASCAR Cup Series is going to hold two cup events back-to-back. On Saturday and Sunday, you've got the Pocono Organics 325 on Saturday, the Pocono 350 on Sunday. Ryan Blaney is the driver of the number 12 Menards Ford Mustang for Team Penske. Ryan, great win yesterday. Great to have you on the show. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
Oh, thanks, sir. Appreciate you having me.
Great to have you, Ryan. Well done. I want to thank him for that. I want to thank my guy, Matt Just Luck, for making that happen. My guy, Matt. What's up, Matt? Good looking out, Matt. Thank you very much. Ryan, thanks to you, too. Quite a day at the track yesterday. And again, they're going to go back-to-back this coming weekend. First time ever. I promised you a good hour of content this hour. And I'm not done yet. Next segment is open. 1-800-636-8686. You never know what you might get. As an example, I did not expect to get that call from Jeff in Southfield on the Tuesday after the Friday of the Smack-Off. The fact that I'm still talking about that call tells you how good that call was. It tells you might hear it back for the huge call. Unless somebody rises up and rips it in the next segment, you have your shot. Use the phone number. Right now we take a break. I've got a sports update for you. If you're wondering what's going on, you are about to find out. In fact, you're going to find out right now. In fact, still pushing out quality content during the pandemic. Still pushing out quality content every single day during the pandemic. Speaking of the pandemic, I said it a few weeks back. Let me say it yet again. You might be sick of COVID-19. You are. I am. We all are. The thing is, it's not sick of us. Let's be real. We all want life to go back to the way it used to be as quickly as possible. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter who you voted for. It doesn't matter what you believe in. We all want the normalcy back. Total normalcy would mean people working once again, sports on TV once again, hell, kids in school once again, right? Right? Restaurants and bars open again. Summer vacation plans back in play again. Kids in school once again. Am I right? It also means a freaking pandemic will be gone. People would not be getting sick and dying from the virus. So there's that as well. Put simply, there is so much on the line right now for everybody still. And the problem is, as we try to reincorporate or re-enter the world as we know it, we see these spikes. Like, we want to finish this thing off if possible, and it would stand to reason that we would have a better chance of doing that if we could all follow the same damn rules. All right? And can we try and keep politics out of it? Common sense. Like, nobody's above this. Not even one Robert James Ritchie Sr., a.k.a. Kid Rock, the Cowboy. Cowboy, baby, with the top left back and the... Why do I bring up the Cowboy? Because the Cowboys got a joint in Nashville, and it's called Kid Rock's Big Honky Tonk and Steakhouse. Because, of course, he does. Why does anybody do anything? Because they can, and believe me, he can. Except right now, the Honky Tonk is serving a five-day beer permit suspension. That's a real thing, a five-day suspension. A five-day beer permit suspension because they were one of five restaurants caught in the act of serving customers seated on the inside of the bar. Currently, Nashville is in phase two of their reopening guidelines. Part of that phase prohibits anybody from sitting inside at the bar. It seems pretty simple, right? Pretty logical. You can grab a drink outside or even take one to go. You just can't post up and drop anchor at the bar on the inside. Turns out that was asking a little bit too much of the American badass.
I'm an American badass.
As of last week, Kid Rock's bar was served its suspension. And now one of the most ironic and unlikely headlines ever has hit the presses. Quote, Kid Rock can't serve beer. Kid Rock can't serve beer. This dude is a cartoon character of a party animal. Drenched in booze, lighting one heater off another, with strippers on poles at every show. This guy can't serve beer. Now he's getting a COVID slap on the wrist. It's amazing. The public inspector who caught Kid Rock's joint in the act said he will continue to monitor that place because now they're on the watch list. I mean, way to go, Rock. Now you played yourself. Now, I know a lot of you think we're all just living in a narc bra world where a bunch of rats are running around, ruining everybody's fun and freedom. But that's not the case at all. Like, the coronavirus is still very much a thing. Ask Novak Djokovic. Ask the NBA. Ask college football. Ask everybody else still testing positive into late June. Like, no one anywhere wishes this was still a thing, but it is. And there are certain rules in place to help lower the curve, flatten the curve, help us get back to where we need to be. I mean, you might think that you're helping usher in the return of normalcy by acting like there's nothing wrong in the midst of a pandemic, but you're only delaying it and it's making things worse. And in the case of Kid Rock serving alcohol at the bar when he was explicitly told not to and was given so many other options to get his customers some cold ones, well, that makes about as much sense as that song, Ball with a Ball. I've always wondered, like, what language is that song written in? What does that mean? Does anybody know what that means? Does he know what that means? Ball with a Ball. I mean, I don't change the station when I hear it. I might even turn it up. I just have no idea what the hell I'm listening to and never have. Worst thing we can do right now is act like we beat something that we didn't beat. I mean, I'd love to say we're winning. And believe me, I hate this. Don't act like I don't hate this. Again, I'm hosting a sports talk show and there's next to no sports. Believe me, I would love to get back to normal. But we're not there yet. This is why I always say TGIF, the grind includes Friday. You don't just start your weekend before the weekend gets here. That's how you get fired. We're not there yet. No one's above this thing. Not even the kid, Kid Rock. Stay in the fight. The fight is not over. We're not there yet. Regardless of what you think that means or doesn't mean. I mean, bro, you're not above the law. When they say don't serve inside, they mean don't serve inside. You know who the hell I am? Yeah, man, you're Kid Rock. And now you're serving a five-day beer permit suspension. A five-day beer permit suspension. Probably should have got a five-year songwriting suspension after Ball with a Ball. I'm fine with the kid. I saw the kid once. I was at a resort. And the kid got up for a short set. Like, he was just doing a favor for one of the guys there. And it was like a three-song set. And some kids got up on stage to sing with him. He didn't like that at all. He didn't like that at all. Like, who's not going to rush the stage when he breaks out a Ball with a Ball? Teenagers got up there. He felt they were pretty entitled. And that was that. Which was too bad. check a reaction before we get to the huge call. Drew in West LA writes, Kid Rock's music gave my ears COVID. Kyle and Clyde tweets, face masks and disinfectant? That don't impress me much. Signed, COVID. Shania, man, still getting some run. She deserves it. Shania's all class. She deserves it. Romy, who hasn't done something regrettable after a few pops? Regards, Hawk's mustache, still residing in New York City, and KB calling your show from Wrigley Stadium.
Van Smack, basically, just like Hollywood, it's an honor to be here. You caught me in a little bit of a malted hop frenzy, but it's great to be here at Wrigley Stadium. Yeah!
That was Kyle Brandt not long after he started getting a day off to go to a Cubs game and calling blasted from Wrigley Stadium. Geoff and Lincoln, War Drunk EPs. Huge Call is brought to you by Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges. It helps if you need to fix them. Eno, another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you are not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details. I will have that for you momentarily. That was one of the best calls post-smack-off that we've had. In case you missed it, that was Jeff in Southfield. The other thing I noticed about Jeff in Southfield after today's call, I think a lot of you didn't like him, didn't get him. And then after today, it all flipped. It went 180. All of a sudden now, you love this guy. Kind of like Cal. Kind of like Cal, but multiplied by 100. A lot of you did not like Jeff. And I would argue you didn't like him because you didn't get him. And all of a sudden after this phone call earlier today, now you love this guy.
Jim, I've updated my Cal in Vegas impersonation. It now sounds like this.
Hey, I tell you, I don't get no respect. I don't get no respect at all. Hey.
That was a great call, Rodney. Hey, Jeff in Richmond. It's not who wants to walk with Jeff in Richmond. It's who wants Jeff in Richmond to walk. And the answer is your doctor, because you're fat, Jeff. Seriously, Jeff, your veins have more clogs than Matt in L.A.'s work week. But you know who doesn't want you to walk, Jeff? Your trophy wife. She wants you to shotgun a keg of melted butter. That way, when you drop dead, she can have all of your money instead of just having all your bros. Hey, Jim, here's a joke for all the Star Trek geeks. Hey, Lef, I was trying to remember where I've seen you before, and then I remembered. You were on Star Trek where you played a dude named Ferengi. What's up, Ferengi? And lastly, Jim, hey, Brad and Corona, here's what your photo says about you. The banana hammock says you have junior league junk. The cigar says you're insecure about your junk. And the hat and sunglasses say you're embarrassed to be you. You should be embarrassed, Brad. You have 5 crowns, and all you have to show for it is fast-tracking your gimp onto the hack-off watch list. Hey, Reggie, you're not just Brad's bitch. You're his gimp. Get back in your box, bro. I honestly can't stand you dudes and your whiny Jeff and SoCal voices. You remind me of the Dead Milkman song, Bitchin' Camaro. Except in your case, it's called Bitchin' Corona. Pitchy Corona, Pitchy Corona, I'm gonna drive Brad's car. Bum bum bum. Pitchy Corona, Pitchy Corona, I'm gonna drive a real hard. Bum bum bum. Pitchy Corona, Pitchy Corona, I'm gonna shift a stick. Bum bum bum. Pitchy Corona, Pitchy Corona, I'm gonna ride that. Pitchy Corona, Pitchy Corona.
When you know what the answer to that question is.
Or not, Hawk, you're all right. That's better the second time through. You know something's good when you hear it once, and then 2 hours later or 3 hours later, it's even better the second time through. That's amazing. Jeff in Southfield, better than what he did on Friday. I'm not saying that wins on Friday. Puts him in the top 10 on Friday. But it makes him number one today. Incredible phone call. My thanks to Jeff in Southfield. Why am I thanking him? Because he gave us content for the first hour. I was already set to do a different first hour, But again, I follow the show, right? If you give me something as good or better than what I have, rarely has that ever happened. But it did today. The guy was that good. I will follow the program. So my thanks to Jeff in Southfield. Sam Amick from The Athletic was tremendous. Chris Kirk, PGA golfer. Ryan Blaney won the Geico 500 at Talladega. The XR4TI winning the day. Tomorrow on the Jim Rohn Podcast, episode 135, I've got Eric Weddle. I could use a couple of voicemail for that, so hit me up, 949-385-0447, 949-385-0447. Ralph Hughes on the way out the door tweets, please, for the love of all that's good, stop playing Kid Rock. Rome, stop please. Serving booze in the bada ba. Sign Narc Bra. Damasio in Albuquerque. Romy, Shania Twain, and Kid Rock in the same show. When is our take? Regards, Bush and Creed. Damn, Geoff. Just stop it. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. See you tomorrow. We're out.